I've been thinking about the armour of God this week, and I found this, well, actually it popped up on Facebook. You know how sometimes things pop up and you think, oh my goodness, where did that come from? This picture came and I rather liked it, and I thought you might like it. It says, how small dogs view themselves when the doorbell rings. Okay. But you see, that dog is clad in armour. Now, I might not be as cute as that dog, to be quite honest. But thank you, Sue. I like that. Thank you. Affirmation from Sue over there. But actually, I am clad, and I can be clad in armour. Thank you. We can lose that picture for now. In fact, can you just go on to the next slide for me? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. When wickedness grabs its moment, you'll be able to withstand, to do what needs to be done, and still be on your feet when it's all over. That kind of sums up the armour to me. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. And when wickedness grabs its moment, you'll be able to withstand, to do what needs to be done, and still be on your feet when it's all over. Have any of you ever gone on a journey where you've ended up driving down the motorway through fog? Yeah? Yeah? Is it fun? No. And as the fog gets deeper and it swirls around you, you wonder why everyone else is still doing 60, 70 miles an hour, don't you? And you can't quite see. Well, Richard and I had a similar experience when we were in Egypt, except it wasn't fog. It was sand. We started out on the most beautiful day, wonderful clear blue sky, and it ended up like that. Can you see out that windscreen? No, and neither could the driver. I was quite pleased I wasn't the driver. To be quite honest, Richard is really, really good at dealing with crisis. But if he can't do anything, he has a default. He went to sleep. He wasn't driving. He couldn't deal with it. But the driver was, you know, going on. He did slow down. But it got so thick that you literally could not see the side of the road. You couldn't see who was travelling around you. You couldn't see who was coming towards you. And if you have ever travelled in Egypt, there are these most amazingly huge lorries that thunder up and down the roads, carrying great big slabs of marble on the back. They have got so much weight and so much speed behind them. As you're travelling through this sandstorm, you don't know if one's coming at you. We survived, thanks be to God, as you can see, because we're here. But you know, we couldn't see what was happening around us. And the people at Ephesians, Paul was writing to them to explain that they weren't really seeing what was going on around them. They were involved in a battle. They didn't really understand. The forces of evil were doing all that they could to suppress the gospel, to distract them, to depress the young Christians, to blow them off course with false teaching, with temptations and resistance of the authorities who were stamping down on them. And now you've got Paul. He's a prisoner, as we read earlier. He's in chains. He's chained to a Roman soldier. And as he looks at the Roman soldier, it becomes clear to him. It becomes clear to him how he can actually explain to the Ephesians exactly what they're facing and what God has put in place to protect them in the battle. He's saying, I'm going to give you a clear picture to see what's going on for you all, so that you will know what you have in your grasp, so that you're ready for the battle that is happening around you, so that you can hold the line. You see, the Christians kind of knew all this stuff was going on, but they didn't see it in terms of a battle. They just thought that's what was happening. And God is saying to them, you as a Christian are involved in a spiritual battle. And I know what God has given you in order that you can be protected. So we talk about the belt. The belt is foundational, and without it, everything else will fall down. The breastplate. The breastplate protects the vital organs, in particular, the heart. The footwear. The footwear keeps the army standing and moving forward. The shield deflects the missiles and protects the whole person and his spirit. The helmet protects the head and protects the minds. And the sword, the only weapon of attack, is given to see off the attackers. So let's look just briefly this morning at what those different items are. So verse 14 says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place." So the belt. Many of us probably have a belt on this morning. Probably all of us at one time or another have worn a belt. And without the belt, sometimes things will fall down, won't they? Have you ever had one of those belts that kind of doesn't hold tight? Richard's got some stretchy belts that haven't got, it's not leather with the normal holes. Sorry, Richard. But they are stretchy belts, and he's always whinging about them because they never stay tight and things get a bit loose and a bit jiggly. So a belt needs to be able to stay tight or it's not going to do its job properly. Last week I spoke about how we went away and we left our allotment and we came back and there was that patch that I'd weeded and it was full of weeds. Well, added to that, one of the strings on the vines had snapped. So you know that thing that held the vines, the grapevines in place had snapped and down they had tumbled. You need to be able to rely on the thing that you've put in place to hold things together. And Paul says that belt that is foundational to the whole of the armor, the belt to which the sword hangs from it and the breastplate is tied into it, that belt is truth. And truth holds everything together. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Paul is saying to the Ephesians and to us, block out the lies, let in the truth. The Christian message is truth. So what do you know is truth? God's truth. The truth of who Jesus is and who you are. The truth of what Jesus has done for you. Have this in place, says Paul, and the rest of the armor will hang from it. First, put in place knowledge of, acceptance of, remembrance of the truth. Have that in place. That's the first part of your armor. The breastplate. As I said, it protects the vital organs from frontal attacks, in particular, the heart. If you had a breastplate with cracks in it, what would happen? So the breastplate is righteousness. So that could talk about your heart attitude. Are you living a lifestyle that's in line with, right with God? But actually it's bigger than that. It's not about your personal virtue, although that is important. It's about knowing that you have been made right with God by Jesus. You see, the one true God is the one true judge. And because of that, the status that you and I hold is that we are already right before God because of Jesus. And that's like a breastplate that will attack you from frontal attack. Those lies of the enemy that says, "You're not good enough. You're still guilty. You don't deserve to be forgiven." You see, Jesus doesn't clothe you with righteousness because you deserve it. He covers you because you need it. His grace is sufficient, and it is enough. So as we put on our belt of truth, we put on our breastplate of righteousness that withstands the lies that said we have not been forgiven. We are not right with God. Verse 15 and 16 said, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So that's about your footwear and about your shield. Now, when our children were younger, there used to be, I presume there is still sometimes, but there used to be that thing called a snow day. Do you remember snow days? When everything shuts down. When the schools shut and we all go, yes, we've got a day off in the snow. And when our children were young, we took them up to the forest one day on a snow day. And as we were walking through the snow, would you like to show us the next slide? We knew other people had been there in front of us, because you could see footmarks in the snow. Now, that is quite a sensible footmark in the snow, isn't it? But we lived in Essex. Essex can be different, you know. What footmark do you think we saw in the snow in the middle of Epping Forest? Shout louder. T-Rex. I know Essex is different, but that's not where I was going. It was a human footprint, let me put that. Okay, show me the next slide. A stiletto in the middle of Epping Forest. You're thinking, I have no idea why or how, but there you go. Shoes are important. Your footwear is important. Have you ever worn a pair of shoes that have pinched or rubbed? Yeah. I was once again on the allotment. I seem to spend a lot of my time on the allotment. And I was wearing a pair of shoes that I've worn for years and years and years and years, but I didn't have socks on. That was my error. By the time I got back, I had the biggest blister on my foot, and I had to sort of push the back of my shoe down under my foot as I limped back home a mile. So shoes are really important. Do you know, Roman soldiers' footwear was part of their success, because they were able to march longer than their enemies expected, longer than their enemies could, so longer than their enemies understood, so they could keep on moving. They were strong, they were sturdy, and they were able to actually keep the soldiers on the move. The enemy will do all he can to knock you off your feet. Have you ever watched or heard Michael Mosley with his one, just one thing? Yeah. Did you ever hear the one about standing on one foot? How many of you do it? Well done, Anne. Well done, Sue. Well done to the back, Nick. Yeah, absolutely. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, actually, he advocated that if you stood on one foot, I should wobble now, if you stand on one foot and then swap onto the other foot, and I think you should do it for at least a minute, it actually improves your balance and means that you won't become frail. It will be good for you. So you're all going to go home and stand on one foot now, aren't you? But it is that sense that actually our balance is important and we don't want to fall. So the shoes that you are wearing are really important. And why should they keep us moving? So the shoes that Paul was talking about was the gospel of peace. And he's saying that if we hold fast to that message of peace, that will give us the strength to keep standing and keep moving, because we've got something to do with it. It's part of our call, isn't it? To go. Go and make disciples of all men. So we're called to go out into the world. And Paul is saying that part of your armour is to make sure you've got on that thing that will keep you standing, that will keep you moving, will keep you pushing forward, spreading that gospel of peace to those around us that don't know it and that need to know it. Our desire to share the message of peace should be such a vital thing in us that it will keep us standing and moving. the shield. Can we have another picture? When we were at Dalesdown, we used to have one particular school that would come and stay every summer. And while they were there, they did a project on the Romans, and they would make cardboard Roman shields. They were amazing. And I couldn't find one, but we used to have photos of them all stood around the walls of the room. They were the most amazing things. But they were made of cardboard. So they weren't really going to do much in a battle, were they? But if you think about a Roman shield, think about the height of it. Think about the shape and the strength of it, and think of how it was used. It was carried. It wasn't just like one of those round shields like you'd see in medieval pictures. It would cover from head to foot, and it would be solid. It would be massive. And at times, I'm sure you will know about how they structured themselves with people around the side and people carrying ones above the head in order to protect not just the individual, but the whole legion. And that's the kind of shield that Paul's talking about. A shield that was built to deal with warfare as it was at that time, which was about arrows being fired at you that were literally on fire. And if you were hit by them, you would be hit by the fire. But the shield was built so that the arrow would boing into it and then burn out. So you were defended. So the shield was to deflect missiles and protect the whole the person and the legion with them, to protect you from getting burned. And it's because a spark can ignite a big fire. And so our shield is the shield of faith. And our faith is there to protect us from getting burned by those arrows of doubt, or despair, or temptation, or false teaching. Our belief in Jesus as the risen Lord and our loyalty to him can protect us from the flaming arrows that are heading our way. Paul says that the shield is there, the shield of faith is there to protect us. So we should feed our faith and starve our doubts. Take the oxygen away from the flame. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Can we have the next picture? Let's on one more. Now, I might be proud, but I think he's quite cute. That is our grandson, and our grandson was given by an uncle a motorbike that does move. He hasn't quite grasped the idea that you need to hold on to the handlebars. He kind of sits there and lets it move backwards and forwards. But he has learnt that he needs a helmet. So he says to his mum, "Mummy, I need my helmet." Now, I'm not sure that helmet's going to do an awful lot, to be quite honest. But the helmet is there for a reason. The helmet protects the head. You can move on from that, because other people are just going to be looking at that instead. So the helmet protects the head. If you've got a wounded head, you can't think straight, can you? You know, if you've bumped, or if you've had a head injury, it will affect you. I, as many of you, suffer from migraines. And I know that after a migraine has passed, I'm confused. In fact, there was a time where I answered a door about an hour after I'd sort of got out of bed having had a migraine and had a whole conversation with someone that A, didn't make sense, and B, I couldn't remember later. Just that my head was actually affected by it. Our head, our mind, our brain is important. The battle is on to mess with your mind until you believe lies. Paul says that the knowing that you already belong, the knowing that you have salvation, that you are already rescued, gives you the assurance that cannot be taken away from you. Hold on in your mind. Let that helmet of the knowledge of your salvation protect you from the lies that will say you aren't part of this, and that will take you away. So finally, the sword. The sword is the only weapon. The others are all defensive, you'll notice. The sword is the only weapon. So when facing temptation and attack, the word of God is the most effective weapon. And Jesus modelled it in the wilderness, didn't he? When Satan came to him in the wilderness, three times he tempted Christ, and three times Christ spoke back the word of God to him and sent him on his way. But much more than that, Jesus used the written word of God, but Jesus is the word. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So in our sword, we are not alone. Jesus comes to fight for us. So in conclusion, as we've looked through these, Paul gives a realistic assessment of both the struggles that we and the Ephesians are and were engaged in, and of the weapons at our disposal. The struggles maybe of finding it difficult to practice our faith, maybe finding it difficult to live our life in that style that we want to because we want to follow God. Maybe it's difficult to learn more about faith. Maybe we're tempted to think, well, that's just how life is. I'm only human. But instead, Paul says, recognize. Recognize that attacks are coming and learn how to put on the full armor of God to stand firm and undismayed. You're part of something bigger. You have been given all you need to protect yourself from attack. Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God.